Toni Jordan, welcome to The Green Room.
Thank you, Nick. It's lovely to be here.
So your first novel, Addition, was a big success and a big breakthrough book for you, published in a number of languages, won awards, was shortlisted for more. That book's a big deal. That book's not going to leave you. Which have you preferred, writing Addition or being the writer of Addition?
Yeah, it's writing Addition was a really beautiful and quiet space, because when you're working on your first book, you must know this, you really have no expectation that it's going to be published, because everything that you hear is that it's practically impossible. When you're I hardly met a writer. I didn't know what I was doing really. So
I was the same. I mean, we both grew up in Brisbane the same time.
That's right.
And Brisbane in the 80s was a place writers left.
Yes. And it actually strikes me as my trajectory is very similar to yours. And I have to say that when I mentioned to my sister that we were having this chat, she said, "Oh my God, Zigzag Street's my favourite book." And that is a long time ago now, Nick.
It is. It's nearly 22 years.
And a lot of books have been in the interim, which I'm sure have been great, but it's that first book captures people.
It really can do. And the same happened with John Birmingham, and he died with a falafel in his hand. And it's happened to a range of us where you write that book in that vacuum with that kind of duel going on in your head, where the maths is saying this will probably never see the light of day.
Absolutely.
But the dreamer in you is going, but maybe this will be the one. Yeah. Maybe this will be the one that not only gets published but that people actually read. And you've had one of those.
Yeah.
You've had a book that is now 10 years old in terms of the publication
That's
date.
Right.
People are still talking about it, still reading it. It's got a life. And in 2006 and 2007, that's probably beyond your expectations, if not your dreams.
Astonishing. But at the time I was writing it, all I was thinking about was making my husband laugh, really. That was the entire thought in my mind.
And how does it feel now, that book? It's still a kind of big deal in your CV.
Well, it is. And I think very fondly of it, but I actually think fonder of the writing process. And I've, in weird kind of magical thinking moments, I've tried to recapture that. I find myself thinking, what did I have for lunch when I was writing Addition?
Yeah.
You know, trying to duplicate that sort of experience. But I remember my publisher, when I finished the book, saying, you'll write better things than this. And I can remember distinctly saying to him, this is perfect. This is a perfect book. Like, how could I ever write anything better than this? Then in a surprisingly short period of time, when you have to look at it again because you do readings and things like that, I look at it and I go, oh, my God, that sentence. I would just change that, you know?
If I did it all again,
I would change it. And that in a way, I feel that impulse is almost a betrayal of the young, clueless me who did the best she could with what tools she had at her disposal. So I would never do that. I would never be one of those people who, you know, go back and fix things up, because you've got to show integrity to the person that you were back then.
Now, sometimes people find things when they read our books that we might not have realised was there, and sometimes we kind of bury something deep as a reward for anyone who finds it. And then in my experience, sometimes with those things, no one ever mentions it, and you wonder if it has been found at all. Is there anything you've ever buried deep in a book that, as far as you know, no one's picked up yet?
No, I don't. But when I was writing Addition, I think because the likelihood of it getting published is so low, I kind of just put in, because I'm actually not very numerically literate person. Like, I failed maths at UQ and I'm just not mathematically minded. I don't know where I got this plot idea from.
So, yeah, you're a natural person to write that book then,
aren't
you?
That's right. But people still email and say, you know, you've miscounted the letters in her father's name. One thing that only one person picked up, even after all this time, was I've got a, you know, she's coming home from shopping with a bag of shopping, and I deliberately say that she's got no lettuce, and she had put lettuce in it. So I actually have her putting lettuce in the bag, and then later on she says, I should have bought lettuce, and it's like right there. But people email me still from you know, Germany, I get a lot of emails saying, do you know that you've miscounted this and you've done this wrong?
Right.
And I also get people quite cross that I put a supermarket in Glen Iris and
there's no supermarket.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they don't like that.
People are sticklers for that. I remember when my novel 48 Shades of Brown was turned into a movie. And it was shot in Brisbane, and people from Brisbane really responded to that. But numerous people came up to me and said, you know, the 171 bus doesn't go down that street. And there were the producers just thinking, here's a bit of stock bus going down the street footage.
Yeah, that's right.
But no, it's all meaningful.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love it that people attach so closely.
I know.
Though. It's
it's so exciting to think that, again, that people are choosing to enter your world. And it makes me sad for people like artists, because once they've done it, and put that same amount of focus and love and care in it, and it goes away then, best case, and they never see it again. So at least we get to retain something of that joint ownership. It's not sort of spirited away from us.
We do. We remain kind of one side of that equation.
Yes.
And we keep making new connections, and so do the books. Books keep finding new readers long after we've written them, and sometimes the people who read the books want to let us know what it meant to us and want to respond to them. And sometimes they do really nice things and sometimes slightly strange things.
Yeah.
Have you had any interesting experiences with fans, Tony Jordan, in connection with your work?
I've had a lot of cooking, which is a really nice thing. So book clubs will have nights where they cook the food. And I've gone to, in addition, again, Grace liked this poppy seed cake, and often I've gone to do events where people have made the poppy seed cake for me, and that to me is, I get very touched and a little weepy actually when people make the cake.
It's lovely, isn't it? It's a really nice thing. I included a couple of recipes in After January, a book for a young adult novel in 1996, and it was published in the US and the UK, and sometimes over there people contact me and send me pictures of them
lovely?
Having made the food. It
and,
is.
And
it's
the other
really
thing
nice.
I have is I wrote 9 days. I wrote a book that it's a historical fiction book set in Melbourne, and I name a particular street where the people lived, and I'm sure that every single person who's ever lived in that street comes up after an event to say, you know, I lived there.
People
which house
love
was it?
It if you connect with their street. As well as going out there and meeting fans, We do interviews when books come out.
Yes.
Some of those go really well and feel really comfortable.
Yep.
But there can be awkward moments. Have you ever had an awkward moment in an interview or an awkward experience in front of a live audience?
I've had an awkward Writers' Festival panel where I was on a panel with a fantastic memoirist who had written a memoir with a great deal of detail about clothes and conversations, and at one point the chair of the panel said, have you got any questions for each other, which is a kind of a dangerous thing to do, I think.
It is. It was this without notice.
Without notice. And I was pretty confident that I'm the only one who had read the other people's books, because I'm that kind of a...
That's really I'm good the, panel behaviour.
I'm the girl sitting up the front with her hand in the air, kid, you know.
Can I just say, many authors on panels don't observe etiquette to that degree.
Yes,
well done, you.
I am a complete pain. Like, I'm that kid, yep.
Some people actually, when the books get sent, don't even crack the spine and think this would be good for mum's birthday, et cetera. Not mentioning
no,
any names
no.
there. But so you're on this panel.
No, and I was really quite certain that the other two people hadn't read any books, and I knew I had read both of them. So I said to the terrific memoirist, the thing that impressed me the most was the extreme level of detail and recall about the earlier, about the pieces of your earlier life, and how do you, because I was genuinely curious how you manage that from a technical perspective. And little did I know that the day before, like this was the Sunday, the Saturday in one of the Saturday papers, the memoirist had had a review saying it was all fabricated and no one could possibly remember all that stuff, and it was clearly fiction, because the level of detail was such that I hadn't read her review. The level of detail was such that it threw the whole memoir into question, frankly. She went completely off that what was I implying about about her integrity. And it was like, it was honestly not my intention. I was attempting to compliment.
So you were doing everything right. So, so like read the book, liked the book, came up with a totally reasonable thing to say. And no, she's...
I thought she would say something like, I've been always an obsessive diary keeper and blah, blah, something, something.
Sure. But the last thing you thought she would do is go you for
it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that was kind of a bit, that kind of woke me up a bit to some of the pitfalls of Writers Festival panels.
Yes. And ever since then, you've realised that when they send you those books, they're not for you to read and ask questions. They're for you to give to your family as gifts at future dates.
I still read the books. They're
I know
great.
You do. Well done. Tony, as writers, we can end up doing events often in the places we expect, in bookshops, at writers festivals, in tents and places like that. But just occasionally we get the chance to do things in a rather different way. Have you had any different experiences along the way doing events?
Well, first of all, I want to say what a joy it is to get out there and do things, because most of my life, 90% of my life, is sitting in my chair on my bum looking at the screen. So whenever someone asks me to go anywhere, I've got my hand up before they even finish the question. Yes, I've been all over the country as well. I've been to Broome, I've been to Albany, I've been to Darwin several times and done events in Tasmania and Cairns, and it's just been... Humpty Doo. I've been to Humpty Doo.
And it is one of the great things about the job, isn't
it?
Because
so great.
You don't expect to go to those places. And sometimes it's places it could be quite hard for you to organise to go to.
Yeah.
And suddenly someone invites you to go there, probably pays you.
That's right.
And lines up all the details. And you're thinking, this is part of the job?
I know.
It's like 90% in tracky dacks, sweating away at home typing. But then 10% this kind of wild adventure where you actually go out on the road.
I remember one trip to, I think it was like Longreach or something like that, where we had a tiny plane with like four seats chartered and landed on this little airstrip. And I was kind of thinking logistically, you know, what happens now? And there's a car waiting for us on the tarmac. And I'm like, what about the pilot? Who's going to get his dinner? No, they've got that all sorted because they're used to this. And we had this dinner above the pub where all the book club people came and brought their husbands, and it was just such a magical night, and it was an opportunity that I would never have otherwise had, and it's just one of the many things I'm so grateful to about this job.
As part of this kind of ludicrous 10% of our lives, when we dress up properly and get flown away from home, people often look after us very well, and you've got a job to do, you've got to do your interviews, you've got to do your events, but then a lot of nice things are done for you.
Yeah, and you know what? It changes your brain because you become an idiot.
It does change your brain. You
become a helpless idiot,
don't you?
Because suddenly I'm worried that whatever I do to engage with somebody is going to be wrong because there's a far more capable person there. So it's like I revert to being eight and mum is there to look after something. And so they say, would you like a coffee? And I go, yes. And then they do it and you just feel – and the other really
nice
thing –
And you can't do the coffee because you don't know where the stuff is there because you've never been there in your life.
And I don't know even how to make a coffee anymore.
Exactly.
And I don't know – like I can't check into a hotel anymore and I can't – at the beginning I kind of thought it was extremely just beyond kind. So when I was on a big tour and different publicists from different regions were looking after me, one publicist would come to the airport, drop me at the airport, and I would say, I'm fine. And they would say, no, I'll wait with you.
Yep,
and they wait
fine.
With you and they see you onto the plane and then the next one is there when you get off. And then I realised it's because they don't trust me.
It's because, no, it's not you. It's because they don't trust any of us.
They think
we're
either I'm going to leave the airport and go, oh, the plane's in 15 minutes, that's enough time for a quick shop up and like vanish, or else go to the bar in the airport.
That's it. Go get drunk or just plain wander.
Yeah, that's right.
Or forget your identity.
So it's actually...
lose your plane ticket.
That's
drop,
right.
Break the app on your phone. They think we need a lot of help.
Which we do because regress.
We do regress. But I was at one festival once, and this was a school-based festival, and the person who was looking after me there just before my event said, now, you'll be going on in 5 minutes, so I should take you to the bathroom before you go on. And I said, no, I'm fine, thanks. And she said, no, I think you'll thank me, and led me to the toilet. And I had to go in and count to 60. So I'd been there for a full minute and come out. And she went, now, you're glad you went, aren't you?
Yes.
Tony Jordan, may there be many more Writers' Festival panels ahead. It's been a great pleasure having you with us in the Green Room today.
Thank you so much for having me, Nick.